don't you kind of feel sorry for people that don't get a chance to join us, worship the Lord, sense His presence, learn from Him, experience His mercy, His forgiveness? As we start the three-week series on why, the first thing we're going to take a look at is why study the Bible. That's the perfect psalm, as Candy does so very, very well, helps us understand and takes us into a place where our hearts are prepared. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, open up our hearts and our minds to what it is that you want to teach us today. Open up our hearts and minds to cite distractions to what it is you want to say and who it is that you want to show us, who you are, what you expect from your people, and what you've given to your people, the Word of God, which is able to make us strong for salvation and knowledge. And as we take a look at the Bible, we actually take a look at who you are. So open our hearts and minds to the truth today. And I guess the only thing today is just speak to us individually, that we don't have to worry about the person left or right. Speak to us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Morning. I hope that as we get through the message today, you will remember that there are five new Bible studies cranking up, and actually one of them is Awana, which we'll be talking about here in a bit. But you got opportunities to get in Bible studies. Hopefully you'll get in one of them come the fall session starting in September. All right. I wonder if I'm the only one that has done this. You walk out of the store, and you're looking for your car. I'm not the only one. And you know you walk, it's to the right somewhere, and I did this several times. You just walk out, you're looking to the right, looking for it is, and you realize you went in a different door and came out a different one, and you're about ready to call the cops, and you're walking around, and you're like, you don't want nobody to see how stupid you are. You know, it's like, you know, I lost my car, my car's misplaced. I actually had somebody say that to me, and we ended up finding her car for her. You know, I said, well, try hitting that button on there that alarms it. She says, oh, that's a great idea. I said, yeah, my wife taught me that. Sometimes you just lose your bearings. I have in your notes there. Follow along on your red notes there. Pull out your smartphone. Follow along with us. Sometimes you just need to get your bearings. You know, maybe you're a mom and you get home and you've been grocery shopping and all the kids are pulling at you every which direction. You say, can you just let me get my bearings? You know, the ability to get situated with your surroundings. Or maybe you started a new job and everybody knows where everything is, where the paper is, where the medicine is, where this is. Everybody, but it takes you a while to get your bearings when you start something new. And it is the same thing in regards to the Bible. When you're new, you need to find your spiritual bearings somehow. But the difficulty sometimes is people think that's enough. Just to find your spiritual bearings one time, you got them and that's okay. Well, that's not okay with a mom who comes home with kids or pulling every day. And it's not okay when you start a new job. It's just not the way that it is. How do we find our spiritual bearings? Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 1, you don't have it in your notes, says this. We must pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Lose your spiritual bearings. Sometimes you just kind of get in, sometimes you just go, and sometimes you just like, you know, I'm just, and we're studying the book of Hebrews starting September 1st. Four times in the book of Hebrews, it warns the Jews who wandered away, who had the truth, who had it all, had all of the ways that God spoke to them, and they wandered away. And we'll take a look at that because we'll be in Hebrews again. Hebrews, four different times it stated, let's do number one in your notes. Why study the Bible? I got four things for you, and if you take a look on the back of your notes, I wrote down all of the why questions I received last week. Three-quarters of them from the Fragers. Thank you so very much, you guys. Appreciate that. You got a notice this morning. So take a look at some of those. I'm going to do two more weeks of why questions, and then some of those I may just do a message on because some of them were very good. So why study the Bible? Number one, so we don't have an accident. So we don't have an accident, you know. Probably everybody here has been in some type of an accident. Maybe a car accident was. Maybe you just tripped and maybe you had an accident in your pants. I don't know, but that's the design team brought that up. I just figured I'd I just forget I said that. Something that is not planned is what an accident. You don't plan it, you know. And I'm just going to give the benefit of the doubt today that there's nobody here that wants to have an accident with the Word of God. There's nobody, I'm just going to take it for granted. Nobody really wants to mishandle it. Maybe not here today. So if nobody really wants to mishandle it, let's take a look at the last chapter in the Bible, which says something that is said from Genesis all the way through, just in a different way. It says in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit's the Holy Spirit. The bride is Jesus Christ himself. And let the one who hears, which is you and me, say, come. Let us call other peoples. That's why we're building. That's why we're doing what we're doing, you know. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Do you have any spiritual thirst for the Word of God? Verse 18, I warn everyone. Who does that include? Everyone, you and me. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, another way of saying this book in the Bible. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if that ain't bad enough, he says in verse 19, if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life. That is eternal life. And in the holy city, that is the new Jerusalem where we'll live, the new heaven, which are described in this scroll. And here's a warning that comes specifically for the book of Revelation. But it is specific all through the Bible. You can see Moses and Abraham and Jesus and Paul teaching the same thing. Matter of fact, if you go to the book of Galatians, Paul says, if anyone or even an angel teaches another gospel other than what we told you, let that angel be accursed. And he doesn't say it once, he says it twice. Because people have a tendency to change the gospel. People have a tendency to change and to make it say something that isn't. I get people all the time. They have distorted views of angels. Oh, my little angel. People wear angel pins. And okay. But, you know, they just have this distorted, unbiblical picture of angels. Why? Because they don't read the Bible. They listen to somebody else. Do you care? That maybe you're telling somebody something's not true. How about people that say, you know, well, Aunt Millie, she's looking down from heaven watching out for us. No, she's not. How about praying to the dead? That can't happen. All throughout the scripture, most especially, the one who we pray to and talk to is Jesus Christ. There's an article in the News Herald last Saturday and this Saturday. This lady, her name is Catherine. I would love for you to read her so you could understand false theology. My question is did you get it? Do you get that it's false? Do you get that there's enough truth mixed in there? Last week, she quoted six different passages of scripture. Never once mentioning the fact that you need to repent if you want to get saved. But she just had it for everybody. Don't worry about it. God is gracious. God is merciful. Everybody's going. So wrong. You want to do a little theology test? You want to see how good you are? Read that article every Thursday and just see, okay, what's right and what's off. Because if you mix it together, it's all off. It's all off. See, if you don't know these things, you can accidentally add or take away. But you know, accidents still have consequences. It isn't the matter of saying, well, I don't really know. You can get in an accident, you get hurt, you can get maimed. I actually happen to know a teenager who was in a church group and they were riding, I think he was in the back of a pickup truck or whatever. They got in an accident, he's in a wheelchair the rest of his life. What happens when we accidentally mishandle the Word of God? As we read this today, I ask myself the question, Evan, are you cautious? So cautious with the Word that you're careful not to say something that you don't know, don't add to it, don't take away. So, you know, let me check on that. Let me see if I got the whole picture on that. We just kind of just willy-nilly sometimes, and that is dangerous. You don't want to have an accident. One of the reasons that we have Bible studies is because we ask people, come, get involved. I talked to somebody this morning that says that helped them, the book of Proverbs helped them to make sure and to move in a certain direction when they were thinking about going in another direction. The Word of God is a light for my path. That's exactly what it did. And that's why Bible study is important. Verse 18 and 19 are from Jesus to all who attend Lifeline Church. This is written to you and to me. Join in a Bible study. Get to Bible study. Get to Wednesday night, Thursday night. Sunday morning is not enough. All I'm doing, I'm feeding you for 35 minutes or whatever. And my hope is to feed you enough to give you an appetite so you want more. That's all I can do. Number two, why study the Bible? So we can look our best. So we can look our best. You know, everybody here, you have an outside look. Everybody here has an inside look. And everybody here has a spirit look. Not a person here doesn't have all three of those. See, people can see the outside look pretty easily enough. And it's a little harder to see the inside. Because the inside look is not the physical, but it's the emotional and attitudes and that type of thing. But you can see that. But God is the one who sees the spirit look. And he's the one who knows and looks inside, and his word looks inside at the spirit. And that's what we compare, say, how's my spirit looking? You can know what God knows because God wrote a book called the Bible, 66 chapters. God sees our spirit look, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best. This isn't a willy-nilly, yeah, just give a half attitude towards it. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This isn't just my job. This is your job too, because the word of God is active and alive in your lives. So you need to be able to apply it in your life, in your heart, and with other people. You know, can we really say that we are doing our best when it comes to being a part of a Bible study and priority and studying the Word? See, God has gifted some people in every church, and in this church and Lifehouse too, where we have people who have the gift of teaching. And they take the Word of God and they make it practical and they make it understandable and they make it be able to apply. This is what Christians do. Christians study the Word of God. They understand it. You know, this passage of Scripture in the News Herald, you know, this lady, I've had people mail me. Cut this clip out and mail it to me. And say, oh, this is good. You might be able to use something. Well, I'm using it today. Oh, yeah, I'm using it. Not the way they were thinking. They thought it was correct theology. A place that you can go and I can go and we can look. This person correctly handles the Word of God because it can be incorrectly handled. Let us be cautious that the promise of Jesus, those are the words of Jesus in Revelation 21, 18 and 19, don't cause us to have an accident with this, but let us become somebody who puts our best forward so that we're not ashamed and we can correctly handle the Word of God. See, you can't handle it properly if you don't study. And people who handle the Word of God correctly, in this passage, they're called workers. They are workers for the kingdom. You see, God sees our spirit look. Do we care more about the physical look than we do the spirit look? Number three, why study the Bible? So we don't wander off. Every once in a while, Marie and I were talking about this, somebody that has dementia or somebody who has Alzheimer's or something, they get out of the facility, they wander off. If I'm not mistaken, I believe somebody wandered off, I don't know, a year or two ago, and by the time they found him, they had passed away. They couldn't find him. They were looking for him. They just wandered off. They got out and they wandered off. This book of Hebrews that we're going to be studying, starting at September 1st. Four times, I'll say it again, it warns us. The first warning is found in Hebrews 2, the very second chapter. It warns us to be careful not to drift away. Why would it say that? Hebrews, Jewish people, it was written to Jewish believers who had all of the miracles, who had the presence of God, who had the water coming out of the rock, and they gathered, and they had it all. And the majority of them wandered away. They drifted away. And if it happened to them, it can happen to us. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, speaking specifically about the Word of God, because that's what we're talking about today, 12 and 13. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joint, and marrow. You see, it's drawing these pictures of how sharp it is and what it can do. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That means if I'm reading the scriptures, then that's happening to me. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The Bible is alive and it's active. Does the Bible just seem like words on a page to you? Or does it seem like when you open and read it, Jesus is talking right to you? Because it is Jesus' voice. If the Bible just seems like words, I know that we all go through these different phases, but if it just seems like words on a page, it's possible you've drifted off and you're just reading it because you know you're supposed to. Is the Lord speaking to you? Is it live and active? Sharper than any double-edged sword? You don't just pick up a sword and just start swinging it. You need some practice with it. You know, you see some, you know, it's a little kid or a teen, whatever, it's just like, oh, let me just kind of walk around and see what kind of damage I could do. Most of the time, they do damage to themselves. This sword here is sharper than anything we can ever sharpen on earth. Have you felt it cut? That's what it says it does. It's alive. It's active. It cuts. Have you felt it cut? If you have, good. You're alive. One of the reasons you know you bleed, you know you're alive, you know you feel pain is when you get cut, it hurts. It's okay to be hurt because it's actually going to heal. It's going to scar over. It's going to heal. Have you felt it judge your thoughts? You know, you're planning to get even, and you're planning to just, you know, you're going to get it back at this person, and all of a sudden the Word of God, or you're reading, or you're studying, and vengeance is mine, and you're just like, jeez, that's a bummer. I can't get even, because the Word of God judges thoughts. How about attitudes? I talked to several people. They said, you know, I'm done in this. Over the last month, I've had three people that I can think of say, I'm done with this person. I'm done in this situation. And they said, no sooner than that, one person came to Bible study. The other person, I think they were driving or something. It's just like the Lord said, have I given up on you? In the Word, or listen to the Spirit, have I given up on you? When are you going to be done? Because sometimes when we're done with somebody, we just hand them off to the devil. I think about how many times the Lord has forgiven me and shown me mercy. If the Bible doesn't convict me, then I never change. And what I'm doing is I'm just drifting on. There's all kind of amateur wavers with the sword, with the Bible. All kinds of amateur wavers. They take a verse from the Bible and make it something totally non-biblical. Please hear me correctly when I say, if you have a verse on the wall, a plaque or whatever, fine. Would you please understand the context? I mean, you guys remember Albert Bell? Joey, they turned him into Albert Bell, you know, big, you know, powerful baseball player for the Cleveland Indians. He did that one thing where he pointed to his bicep and stuff like that. He would sign balls, and he would sign it Philippians 4:13. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he applied it all to baseball. He would sign a ball, give it to a kid, Philippians 4:13, as if the passage of Scripture is talking about that kind of strength. Do you know what the context of Philippians 4:13 is? I ain't telling you. Find out for yourself. Read the first three verses before that. Before you ever quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, make sure you know the context of it. You see, we don't just pick up a sword and know how to use it, and 1 hour on Sunday doesn't create it either. And I hope you have personal Bible study. You know, do you know the tough thing about drifting? If you're out on the lake, it's really hard to tell if you're drifting. They actually have alarms that you can put on your GPS. If you drift 75 feet, you know, the alarm goes off. If you drop anchor or whatever, you know. How do you know if you're drifting if Jesus isn't your anchor? We were out in the water one time. We were perch fishing. There was probably about 25 boats around. I think Maria was with me, I think. And there was a guy who was anchored, and everybody's anchored in their kitchen. All of a sudden, this person's anchor lets loose, and they didn't know it. And they're drifting, and everybody's lines are in the water, and the anchors, and the guy's drifting and drifting and drifting. Finally, he figured it out that he was drifting. The only way he figured it out is he saw everybody else was staying where they stood. They stayed anchored. and he was going to drift in and cause a mess. Yeah, drifting causes a mess. Drifting away is the cause for losing eternal life. Those who have wandered off, who have wandered away, most of the time they don't know it. And I wonder what you think today. You know, there's that comparison. They think, well, I haven't wandered off. I don't need Bible study. I don't need this. You know, or is the Word of God active and alive? Then you know you haven't drifted away. You know your anchor is holding. Verse 4, number 4. We study the Bible because it never wears out. It never wears out. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. And we'll see why in a minute. See, you can't separate the words in the Bible and Jesus. You cannot separate those two. He said the same thing, just a little differently in Luke 16, 17. He said, it's easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. And by that least stroke, he's talking about two little markings that come on top. One is a jot and one is a tittle. Just little mark, not even the letters themselves, just the little. He said, my word, it stands forever. It is important. It is eternal. And since the Bible is eternal, Jesus said, those who study it, you seek eternal life. When you study it, you find me. And in finding me, you find eternal life. The Bible, it never wears out because Jesus never wears out. They are one and the same. It truly is the fountain of youth. I mean, it keeps us from wearing out spiritually. It keeps us from wearing out eternally. People talk about how the Bible's outdated all the time. Oh, the Bible's outdated. It was written so long ago, this, that, the other. And we were having a discussion. I think Rick brought it up at Bible study. He says, or I forget who, somebody said, you know, it is amazing to me how we're reading this, and it was written hundreds of years ago, and it so applies today. If somebody says the Bible is outdated, it's because they never read it. They heard somebody else say that, or they want to find a reason not to read it and listen to it and repent and humble themselves before Jesus and come to know who he is and be saved. Have we become complacent about studying the Bible? Do you have a hunger and a thirst? I mean, are you waiting? No, I'm waiting to get to Bible study. You know, it's not like you're doing cartwheels, but it's like I'm enjoying coming to Bible study. And we got people coming. That is exactly what they enjoy doing. Do we have a hunger? Or can we go days and weeks without studying the Bible? And I hope that you're here on Sundays, and I hope you have a personal time of study, but you need to be with a group of people, and you need to be under some people with the gift of teaching. When I was a kid, we had cars in the 70s and up into the 80s a little bit. They lasted 70 or 80,000 miles. Right, John? The bodies would rust out. The engines would go terrible. I mean, you'd be lucky if you had something to last that long. Now, you're not going to like what I'm saying, and please don't. I'm just going to say, you can thank in part the Japanese for American cars that go 200,000 plus miles and bodies that don't rust right off the frames. I was talking to Jim Posey, somebody. He's got a truck. He says, man, Evan, I'm going to drive this hopefully 300,000 miles. If we were in the 70s, they'd tell us that. We'd laugh at them so bad because it would just rust and fall apart. I bought a car. It's got 50,000 miles. I bought it used, 50,000 miles on it. You did that in my... That's just like, well, you're going to drive that for a little bit and it'll be gone, but I'm going to put 200,000 miles on it. See, you can buy a car today that's just breaking in at 70 to 80,000 miles. Take care of it, last four times longer, but you're buying into Jesus' words. Investing your life into Bible study will get you older maybe on the outside, but younger continually on the inside, and your spirit will not wear out. Matter of fact, it will be stronger and stronger when the rest of you is getting weaker and lumpier. See, the Bible I have in your notes is God. I can't say it any plainer than that. Oftentimes I tell new Christian, I tell you, in the front of your Bible, open it up and write God's voice. And that's only partly true, because the Bible is God. In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Logos. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Okay? I have a little notation that word there is the Logos, meaning the Word. And let me just read this with you. You have it in your notes. In this context, in the original language and in commentaries, it says that the Word equals the word Logos. In John, it denotes the essential Word of God, Jesus Christ. The personal wisdom and power in union with God, his minister in creation and government of the universe, the cause of all the world's life, both physical and ethical, which for the procurement of man's salvation put on human nature, that's found in verse 14 of 1 John, the first chapter, put on human nature in the person of Jesus the Messiah, the second person of the Godhead, and shown forth conspicuously from his word and his deeds. You see, if you don't study the Bible, you have no spiritual anchor. You have to read it and learn it and apply it yourself. Otherwise, it's drifting. The question is, do you have one of those alarms like they have on GPS? You drift off 75 feet and the anchor's loose and you're just drifting. And you're not just drifting off, you're drifting away, farther and farther away. The asterisk in your notes, when we study the Bible, we study Jesus. When we open the Bible and study it, since he is the Word, and the Word is the Scriptures and who he is, we study Jesus. He daily helps us get our bearings. He daily helps us make sure our anchor holds. How much time do we spend on Facebook, on the internet, sports? How much time? Nick, our new guy, our intern, said that the average teen, had some stats, spends 3 hours on social media aside from their phone. 3 hours a day aside from their phone. Now, if you don't study the Bible, we learned 4 things today. That you're in danger of having an accident by either adding something to the Scriptures or taking it away because we didn't care enough to know the truth and study to make sure we had it right. We just think it's really not that big a deal, but it is a big deal to God. Number 2, we learned that if we don't study the Bible, that there's no way that our spirit look can look good to God. We are not a worker that's approved. But I hope that you are a worker, approved, who rightly handles the Word of God. We learn, and you'll learn it 4 times if you come to Bible study, that you're in danger of wandering off and wandering away. In Hebrews, it says, for those that didn't enter God's rest, and that rest meant a salvation, it says the Hebrews, the Jews, never entered that rest. They never entered that rest. Is there any difference between what they had from God and what we had? We got the Word of God. We got more than them. And don't think it can't happen to you and me. And we can just be part of the whole group in the congregation and just realize that we've drifted away. And number 4, we studied and learned that we could be in danger of really wearing out. Because not being fed by what is eternal will not continue to supply eternal life, eternal strength. So, I leave you with the question, how do you know you haven't drifted away? How do you know that you haven't drifted away? In our country today, there's a group of people who are very slowly chipping away at America, and this is how it works. It's just very slowly, call them liberals, call them what you want. They started with our kids. They made public education, secular humanism. They did 2 big things with that. They said there's no God through evolution, and you try to convince your kids otherwise of that. And I hope that you can. I hope that you're dedicated to that. And they try to tell them about sexuality, homosexuality, lesbianism, gender. And if you disagree with that and say that that's wrong, you're a hater. That's what they've done. Very slowly, they're drifting away. They started with the kids. They've taken away freedom of speech because if you say something against somebody, it's not freedom of speech, it's hate speech, and now they can throw you in jail. That's the drift that we're on. They're rewriting history books. That's happened, been happening for years. They're taking heroes of America and they're making them racists and bigots and bad guys. And they're taking down statues that teach things. Maybe they teach what's wrong or right. But my wife says in Europe, all the people who did what was right or wrong are still there. So you can walk up to them and point and say, see what this guy, see what he did? It was good. It was bad. But no, we're just tearing everything down. And when they decide that they don't like you, guess what's going to happen? What are you going to do then? And they've already decided they don't like Christians. They've already decided they don't like Christians. They're trying to govern our worship services. They're trying to govern what we say. They tried for the longest time to say, well, you can't say anything political, which I don't care. They can take our tax exempt. We're going to say what is true and is right, and we're going to lift up godly politicians and godly causes. And so I look at this, and this is what I see. I say, we know enough knowledge to be upset, but really don't have enough to do anything about it. And part of that is practical, because we're busy. Everybody else that don't have a job, they can protest all they want, but we're busy. We got a job. But I'm concerned that we haven't, there's not enough going on. It's not bothering us to do anything about it. And that's my concern about the scriptures. That's my concern about Bible study. Evan, why are you beating this to death so hard? Because I need you, want you to not drift away, to join in scripture, to join in Bible study, to lead one, to facilitate one. Even let a video teach it. We have all kinds of them. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, I have verse 11 through 14, and I'm just going to read 14. It just talks about wanting to be able to say, you know, I really like to give you guys solid teaching from the Bible. He calls it solid food, but he says you're just a bunch of infants, babies, and all you can handle is milk. He says, I really wish I could talk to you about righteousness, but you're not there yet. And verse 14, he says, solid food, right? Solid food, the word of God, living right, living righteous, is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. When you constantly study the scripture, when you're constantly using it, you make a mistake here, there, whatever, but you constantly are learning and learning and learning the context of it. They tell me that in studying people that look for counterfeit money, I don't know if it's true or not, the FBI, whatever, that in studying counterfeit money, they don't necessarily have a lot of counterfeit money. What they do is they have you constantly handling and feeling and seeing real money, the real stuff. Because when they make something counterfeit, they use a little different paper or it looks a little different, and they just are handling it. So that once they see or feel something, they're just like, knew it right away. And that is exactly true with the Word of God. The more you handle it, the more you see it, the more you're in Bible study, the more you pull off stuff like this and say, this lady's whacked. She's a nice lady, but she is on down a road of trying to make sure everybody's happy and not wanting to offend anybody. And I'm sorry, but that is not the Jesus of the Bible. How about considering hosting a Bible study, opening up your home? How about considering attending one, being a part of one? Our Kathy Barham, who is the director of adult discipleship at Life House, is now going to be the director of Lifeline. So we're fortunate enough in that. I close with this story. There was a math teacher who saw little Davy wasn't paying attention. You know how math class, I hated math. I was never very good at math. I flunked out of math class. Around here, they don't let me touch no numbers. Stay away from the finances of it. But the teacher called on little Davy and said to him, hey, you're not paying attention. Davy, what are 2 and 4 and 28 and 44? So little Davy very quickly replied, NBC, CBS, HBO, and the Cartoon Network. And that's awesome. He had the right answers, but the wrong context. And my concern is that we quote a passage of Scripture, or we see something in a Scripture, we'll say these little trite things. Davy thought he had it right, but this was math class. Maybe you think you have it right, but this is God's class. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God, and we need to be studying it. There are so many people, they would just love to have the Bibles we have. all the time. People are looking for Bibles. We send them overseas. People, they don't have what you have. And sometimes that's just the way it is, right? You have something, you just don't, you take it for granted. Let's not do that. Father, speak to us today individually. This is your church. Take your people where you want them to go. Bring them to a place. Maybe today they need to repent. Lord, I've been far from your word. I've drifted away. Maybe today you've convicted and you say, okay, I know the word. I've been a Christian a long time. I should be teaching by now or hosting. Speak to them, Lord, so that, because as the Bible growth in this church goes, so goes the growth of this entire church. Jesus, you are the word, the Logos. And in the beginning was the word was with God, and the Logos was God. Nothing was created without you. And we praise you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen.